Blog Talk Radio.
By Roundtree 7, and that's the number 7.com, and all the writers over there. So, bad news yesterday in the southeast of the United States. And I'd appreciate it if everyone who comes by and takes a listen, or who's listening in now, or what have you, and I do see my own Commander Krell there in the chat room, as well as a Charles Colburn. Hello, Charles. Thank you for stopping in to see us or listen to us. Yes, see us, right? Didn't sleep good last night. They're getting ready to, they aren't getting ready. They're spraying dispersants. They're spraying Corexit into the Gulf again. So please, act up. Say something about it. Please, please. As I said before, and now I am quoting a message on Facebook today by one David Williams. It says, the people at Occupy Wall Street are fighting for us. They're fighting for us with the job situation, the economy, the greed that is overwhelming factor used for policy. We all could be out there on the street wondering just what the hell happened to the American dream. The, quote, experts these days are actually recommending that buying a home might not be the wisest move. Can you imagine that? Jeez. Can you imagine that? The single most recommended item for the past 60 years, buying a home to invest in your family's security, suddenly isn't so wise. What happened? What happened to the American dream? if you're working hard, get a little ahead, buying a home and raising a family. The American dream. Keeping your nose to the grindstone and retiring with your house paid for and your grandkids coming to visit. All that is gone. All that is gone. The top 1% of the wealth has been bottled up. Wall Street has gone to the craps table with your 401k and pensions and gambled it all away. And the government says, here's a bunch more money. Keep at it. It's the only way the economy is going to come back. The grifters have the keys to the money box, and the spineless sold-outs are making the rules. Yes, those people are protesting for us. They're protesting for us. Anyone that doesn't see that is just fooling themselves. And that was written by a fellow named David Williams, Commander Krill, over at Roundtree 7. We're going to be here. And tomorrow, little announcement, tomorrow, hopefully, with all the testing going right, someone will sit in from Roundtree 7 for me, our own poet laureate from hell, Dusty Taylor, the lady who writes Left Wing Nut Job, which is one of the favorites of Crooks and Liars, and certainly one of our favorites, and she's also part of the writing team at Roundtree 7. And I can't say enough about the writing team at Roundtree 7. They're a good group of people who are in complete solidarity with what is going on right now at Wall Street. And I want to, basically, I want to get the names of the cities now out here, because it's not just Occupy Wall Street. Now, we've known all week, too, that we have Occupy Los Angeles and Occupy San Francisco, but now the 99%, and the 99%, those are the people who are in the streets, who are there right now, who are sitting over in what they call Liberty Plaza in New York. And the 99% will not be ignored. And all of us are standing in solidarity with them. This little radio show is going for a couple hours, hour and a half, whatever I can do, whatever I can push out, whatever Dusty will be able to push out when she's here. And I'm hoping to get more of our Roundtree 7 writers in here to take the controls for a day, for a couple of hours. So our solidarity is with you, all of you folks everywhere, and this is where we are standing with you, in Madrid, in L.A., in San Francisco, in Madison, in Toronto, in London, Athens, Greece, where there's so much trouble going on. Sydney, Stuttgart, it's a great town. They make a nice machine there. Chicago, Tokyo, Phoenix, Amsterdam, Algiers, Tel Aviv, Montreal, Milan, Portland, Atlanta, Cleveland, Kansas City, Dallas, Orlando, Seattle. This weekend, Tulsa, Oklahoma. The Okies are getting into it. I'm going to read what people are putting into the chat rooms. It says, and Krell does say, admire these kids. They're off their asses, agitating, arguing, providing a living example. There's passion and feeling in their dissent. They're willing to be punished. It's easy to mock them. And how many of you guys out there would take their place? It's down to us, the true voice of the people, to defeat this legacy of Ayn Rand before our voices are silenced. And that was from Glenn Grinwald over at Salon.com. He posted an article, What's Behind the Scorn for the Wall Street Protests? The legacy of Ayn Rand, that would be Mr. Coburn adding his thoughts to it. And happy to have you adding your thoughts to it. Please remember that we are also able to take your calls today if you want to talk. I know some folks are listening in the broom closet at work. Maybe some people are listening in the kitchen at home. But basically here, we do have the ability to talk to you all, and I'm trying very hard right now to get back to there we go. I posted the number for calling for those of you who would like to call in. Most happy to hear from you, because as you can tell, I'm pedaling real fast here. Naomi Klein said something, finally. Well, she probably has known about it and been watching it, but somebody finally got to her and got a quote on the Occupy Wall Street, and she said, "This is not a time to be looking for ways to dismiss a nascent movement against the power of capital, but to do the opposite, to find ways to embrace it, support it, help it grow into its enormous potential with so much at stake. Cynicism is a luxury we simply can't afford." And boy, she said a mouthful there, didn't she? We can't afford that. No way. Let's face it, folks. Petitions, emails, even the phone calls to the White House aren't getting it done. I think, you have to take your action as well as you can. But Care to and MoveOn.org, they're just drinking up the donations to keep themselves afloat so that they can send out more emails. I mean, this is the way it looks. At one time, they were a real big asset to a grassroots movement. But I don't see them diving in and helping to raise money. Has MoveOn.org sent you an email asking you to contribute to the funds at Fulton Street, send to the Up Store? Have they asked you to do that? Have they sent out an email? And they should, but have they? Oh, of course they haven't. You know, who do you believe anymore? To sit down and honestly say to somebody in a conversation, well, you know, you can't believe the government, and to actually believe it and understand that it is demonstratively true, oh, my gosh. And here we go. Listen, these folks need help. If you can send a few water bottles, that's something they need a lot of. Water bottles, you know, the kind you buy over at the grocery store. And if you're going grocery shopping, you know, try to remember that the little mom-and-pop shops are what we really need to be working right now. Excuse my language or don't. I couldn't give a grass ass whether you do or you don't, but fuck Walmart, okay? Fuck Walmart. I know that a lot of people survive because of the pricing at Walmart. Well, I'd survive a whole lot better, too. Of course, I don't have 6 kids or 3 kids. I only have one little 4-legged kid, and I'm willing to forego whatever it is I have to forego to make my purchases at the little mom-and-pop operations. I myself am a handmade company, and I'm out here sloshing it out and doing my best to survive. So when you go to make your purchases, to send, and I know you're going to do this, send up to the occupiers, the 99% up in New York. You want to go to, and I hope you have a pencil handy, because it's sending care of the UPS store. You got to love Brown today, don't you? they do a lot of work for me too. But I have always complained, so none today, none at all. With UPS store, send supplies, you can send money orders. Heck, I wrap cash and paper and send it myself. But whatever you can send. They're going to need those little ponchos for rain. You know, the ones that cost $1.25 or $1.50 that go in the back of the car? They can use those. Anything you can send, send it to Brown, the UP store, the UPS store, care of Occupy Wall Street. And the address is 118A, A as in apple, Fulton Street. And that's F-U-L-T-O-N. And it's number 205, number 205. There is an article on Alternet right now by Dan Hazen that is asking for solidarity and financial support, and there's a link here our chat room. Thank you, Mr. Coburn. Thank you very much for that information. Anything you put up, I'm going to probably just transcribe right out onto the air here. So that's New York, 10038, 10038, New York. And remember, you can also find information to support these movements, as we said, that are popping up everywhere, all over the country. And it's all over the world. In a few minutes, I'm going to play something for you off YouTube and use my speakerphone to do it. We're going to be experimenting. I'm glad somebody's out there listening, because I can find out from you gentlemen whether or not it's working to use the without having to spend 3-4 hours pre-show recording everything. That's taking up a lot of time. But we're sticking to it. I can hardly wait to see how Dusty handles it. So there we go. That's I will be telling you that one again. Susan Sarandon showed up yesterday at Occupy Wall Street, and I am told that this morning some wonderful looking uniformed airline pilots, union airline pilots, marched in to solidarity with Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street. I think that's pretty cool, don't you? I mean, good grief. airline pilots, wow. That's kind of nice. So, what else have we got here? Oh, yes. We have some information that the occupiers and the folks, the good folks over at Anon, would like us to get to your attention. It's information you need to know. I can remember as a freshman in school, we had to know how to, I call it go low, but how to deal with things, what you should do if you're stopped by the police. And you should keep control of your words, your body legs, your body language, and your emotions. Stay calm. Stay in control. Don't get into an argument with cops. There's no winning there. We all saw how getting into an argument with a cop could turn out. I guess Mr. I don't know if he's a lieutenant or a sergeant, but Anthony Bologna. Bologna, I heard somebody says Bologna, actually had his home address outed online. So what he did, pepper spraying a death occupier, 99%er, when he sprayed those women, he opened a huge, he also got one of his fellow police officers. He got himself into quite a scrape, and I don't think he'll probably in his career ever get out of this one. keep your hands where the police can see them, okay? Always remember that. Never badmouth or antagonize a cop. Remember, anything that you do or you say can be used against you. Now, at these occupations, I think they have civil rights attorneys standing by, and they have numbers for you to pick up to give to any of the police officers. If you are stopped and say, you know, arrested, good Lord. If you're arrested or even if you, you know, they have the numbers and the information you need. You do not tell them anything. Now, this is from sad experience. Please listen to me. You don't talk to cops, not never, ever, ever. Never talk to a cop. Not in that situation. The only time you want to talk to a cop is when he's out of uniform and you don't know he's a cop, or you know he's a cop, but he's not being a cop, because the police will use anything you say against you. And they have every right to. That's part of their job. So keep that in mind. Don't say shit. Nothing. Nada. Nothing. Nothing. Just say your name and the phone number or the name of your attorney, and let them cuff you and go in and go through it and then come back out and get back at it again. Don't run. Don't touch a police officer. Do not do that. And if you're pushed into one or whatever, always be polite and say, excuse me, or what have you, so the police officer has an idea that you are not attacking him. Don't resist. Even if you're innocent, don't resist. Always give in. You should really allow your body to go limp if there's something radical going on. As I said, if you're arrested, the first thing you do is say, I want my lawyer. I want my phone call. I want my lawyer. That is the only thing. And as I'm being reminded by Mr. Colburn here in the chat room, which is very true, and thank you, Charles, thank you very much, the cops need to be reminded that their union, and this is about them as well, these occupy whatever the financial district street is in each town. These are about them just as much as it is about you as a protester, as a member of the occupying group. Always try to find witnesses. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but they have been saying, what is your name? What is your name? Give us your name. So it'll be on camera. And everybody is encouraged to buddy up, get yourself a buddy. If you arrive at some place on your own, buddy up, even if it's with a little crowd. This is the time to be cliquey. Go ahead, you're allowed. This is the time you're allowed to be in a clique. Yeah, yeah? Now listen, if you're injured, take photographs with your cell phone of your injury as soon as it happens. But make sure you're getting a medical attention. And I know at Occupy Wall Street there is medical attention there, just as there's a kitchen, and there will be at all of these Occupy whatever city. And we're going to do our very best to get a hold of people that are actually there. While we're doing the Solidarity radio shows. Anyways, these are things that you should know when you are doing this. And David says, buddy up with someone that you don't stay with. That way, both won't be arrested at the same time. That's a very good idea, because... you know, at the end of the day, well, I'll meet you back at Focati Park over by that planter with the geraniums in it kind of thing is a good idea. There is a PDF going around, and you can find it at OccupyTogether.org about how to deal with the police. You really, really need to know this before you go to any protest at any time, because it's just prudent that you don't make a bad mistake with the police officers, because you can see how emotions get pretty high and things can get taken out of context pretty quickly. So we've done that. We've talked about the police, and we are OccupyTogether.org. Now, this is what they're calling the national program here. The mission of it exists solely to help organize, publicize, and support the growing number of communities that are showing support for Occupy Wall Street movement. Now, as you can tell, I am actually reading from a PR release. So let me just stick to that. We don't have any other agenda outside of this. We stand by the developing mission of Occupy Wall Street, but we are not representatives for Occupy Wall Street. Why we are doing this, as you watch the continuing marches at Wall Street over the internet, many across the nation are reacting to this movement. And so OccupyTogether.org has decided to set up this website and social media networks to provide a hub for those organizing in various states across the country. So Occupy Together is the hub. And I think it's it's Anonymous who is setting up all of these different little sites and helpers for you. Let me go back to it here. Okay. Many of us cannot be there with our brothers and sisters in New York City and, like us, wanted to do something. Occupy Together was our way of participating in these events in spirit and solidarity in order to support those organizing and demonstrating in various cities and states across America. And I think they're coming out of Lincoln, Nebraska, because I had to copy and paste onto a Word document, so I lost some of the context of this. But we have now grown to 4 Nebraska-based volunteers. So basically we're talking about techs who are working from home to provide this hub for people. And it's really, people are using it, and it is a good it is a good hub to get information and instructions at OccupyWallStreet.org is out there with information on the Wall Street occupation. And there's also a way to contact, and that's through the info at. So we have that taken care of. Going back up here, la 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 la. There has been very little, of course, and this is why Hear Me Monsters for Roundtree 7. This is why we're broadcasting every day in solidarity, because we're protesting. This is a protest for against the mainstream media, who have done basically a blackout. And when they haven't, I have a little quote here. I found something interesting. When they haven't been blacking it out, their views are colored by, like, the New York Times article deriding protesters for wishing to pantomime progressivism and gunning for Wall Street with faulty aim. Now, those were quotes from a New York Times and Wall Street Journal wasn't very much better. I'm beginning to think that when finally Maddow says anything on her own about it, it'll probably be something along those lines. She's drinking the Kool-Aid real well. Can you tell I'm pissed at Maddow? Many of the criticisms boil down to saying that there's a lack of clear messaging. I beg to differ with that one. This is being guided and marshaled by a group who I think really know what they're doing. I think they're letting momentum build in order to come to the point of, and they did, with poetry and nuance. They said, we have just one demand. And they gave those one demands out to people. There's already been a press release. We read it the other day. I'll bring it back up before the end of the show and give it to you. There, you know, Krell, that was a really wonderful, too. I saw that. Brother Cornell West was at Occupy Wall Street last night, and before long I will play that back to folks. There's plenty of sophisticated ideas out there in this movement. And basically, they embrace ending corporate personhood. I mean, you think institute a Tobin tax on stock purchases and currency trading. Yeah, that's a good idea. Nationalize the banks, you think? Socialize medicine? Oh, please. We're the only place on the planet that has what they call, you know, what they used to call what did they used to call America? The place where the streets were paved in gold if you were coming here. What a rude awakening once you got. But this, the land of living your dreams and the great all-encompassing American dream, and we're the only place on the planet that has so much plenty that we do not take care of our people with nationalized health care. Everybody, I mean, and can we talk? Can we talk about how the Republicans are handling this and the teabaggers and just the political buffoonery that is our political system right now. It's horrifying. You wonder why people are filling the streets. Fully fund government jobs and genuine Keynesian stimulus, lift restrictions on labor organizing, allow cities to turn foreclosed homes into public housing. I think that's just one of the best things I've heard in such a long time. Allow cities to turn foreclosed homes into public housing. You know how many houses on my street have been foreclosed on? Foreclosed on and actually standing there empty, and people break into them to, you know, the homeless find them, break into them for a while to stay and squat and until a neighbor will call the police because they're afraid. Yeah, we really need to do something about using the homes that we have. We really do. There are whole villages, there's whole tracts of homes that have been foreclosed on, maybe one or two families living amongst 30 homes. That's out in California there. It happened. So, and then there's building a green energy infrastructure. We've still got tar sands. We got the Keystone Pipeline coming up. And today in the Ha 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 Journal of the Huffington Post, they actually did a piece on how basically the pardon me there, how basically the pipeline that's being built so rickety that there's just going to be leak after leak, break after break, because they're building it in such a hurry, and they're building it at such terribly low spec. And this is all about corporate greed, corporate profits. And the people on Wall Street are there saying people's needs over corporate greed. So there you go. There you go, all the way. We also have, and I don't mean to do, I'm actually trying very hard here to get the to get my screens settled out. And it doesn't look like anyone's in the old chat room, nevertheless. Nevertheless, we're going to listen to what Chris Hedges had to say on Sunday.
Of course, they're trying to make you scared and us scared. But I can tell you, having been a reporter for the New York Times, that on the inside, they're very, very frightened. They do not want movements like this to grow. And they understand on some level, whether it's subconscious or in other cases even overt, that the criminal class in this country has seized power. That those people in this plaza, those people carrying out these protests, in the true sort of definition of the political spectrum, are conservatives in this sense. They call for the rule of law. They call for the restoration of the rule of law. And what's happened is that the real radicals have seized power, and they are decimating all legal impediments to the creation of a neo-feudalistic corporate city, one in which there is a rapacious oligarchic class, a thin managerial elite. And two-thirds of this country live in conditions that increasingly push families to subsistence level. And one of the reasons that I went to Immokalee, and the reasons Immokalee is important, is because in this race to the bottom, Immokalee is the bottom. It's where they want the working and even the middle class to end up. And that is a place where they have no rights, where because of massive unemployment and work that is part-time, poorly paid work, they can reduce the working class to a status equivalent to serfdom, where there are no pensions, no health benefits. Collective bargaining in Florida is illegal, a legacy of Jim Crow. And Immokalee isn't just a horrific pocket of essentially third world abuse, but is a vision of what the corporate state wants to impose upon the rest of us. And what they want is for us to remain passive and to remain frightened. And as long as we remain passive and frightened, entranced with their electronic hallucinations, we are not a threat. The moment people come out and do this, the corporate state is terrified. And if you doubt me, look around you at the huge numbers of cops. And not only that, but the kind of brutality that the cops have visited on peaceful protesters.
Does anybody have any questions? They all say thank you, hug, tell her how it is. They all like supporting you and agreeing with you, and they thank you for coming down.
Well, I'm sitting in a park with the only free people in New York City. This is it. And fear is a potent force, and the security state and the corporate state has worked overtime to make us afraid. Because when you're afraid, you think with a different part of our brain. You become politically, emotionally, intellectually, and even physically disempowered. And we have to stop being afraid. And if we stop being afraid, then these nefarious forces that are destroying our ecosystem and destroying our country, their fragility will be exposed. So get out here and come with us in Washington on October 6th when we're going to, again, occupy a plaza, because the only mechanism we have left for reform is civil disobedience. Belief that the formal structures of power, including the Democratic Party, are going to ameliorate the injustices being visited upon us is self-delusion.
Okay. What can we do to raise awareness?
You're doing it right now. This is it. And you know,
people that are not here need to as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really about physically throwing your body in front of the machine. I'm not a big fan. I mean, social networking is useful in terms of forms of communication, but I don't believe that it's useful in terms of forms of activism. Activism requires us to do what all of the great movements throughout history have done, and that is physically get out and obstruct the forces of control, and that's it. This is really the only option we have left, and it's extremely important because the system doesn't work anymore, because there is no way for incremental or piecemeal reform to be carried out within the system. In essence, we've undergone a kind of corporate coup d'etat in slow motion. It's imperative that those of us who care about democracy and civil society engage in these acts of civil disobedience, which I have. And, you know, to be honest, going to jail is more time than I care to donate to the U.S. government. On the other hand, I have children. And I look at my children and I wonder what kind of a world we're going to leave them. My youngest son is 3 years old, and his favorite book is Out of the Blue, which are these huge pictures of narwhals and dolphins, and he will sit on the floor of his room and flip through these pages, and I look at him. When I see him do that, it breaks my heart, because I know that if there is not a radical change in human behavior, all of those great sea creatures will be dead within his lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate systems are, in theological terms, and I'm a seminary graduate and can't escape it, are systems of death. They turn everything into a commodity. Mm-hmm. Human beings become commodities. The natural world becomes a commodity that they exploit until exhaustion or collapse. In that sense, Karl Marx was right. It is a revolutionary force, and the revolution has happened. They've won. And to appeal to the systems of power, or the illusory systems of power that they place before us, is to essentially become complicit in the radical reconfiguration that the corporate state intends. They know no limits. The only word corporations understand is more. They will push and push and push until human capital is destroyed, until the ecosystem itself is destroyed. And if we don't carry out acts of civil disobedience, then the rage that is being expressed by the working class, and it's a legitimate rage, will be channeled by proto-fascist movements like the Tea Party, militia, and other groups. And these are groups that celebrate violence, they celebrate the gun culture, they are racist towards Muslims, undocumented workers, homosexuals, intellectuals, and that's really the choice before us. Either those of us who care about an egalitarian, open society get out into the streets, or we cede power to movements that will seek to snuff out what is left of our anemic democracy. Yeats got it. I mean, we live in a moment when the best lack all conviction and the worst are full of passionate intensity. And the reason that what's happening today is so vital and so important and even monumental is that, to my mind, everyone in this park are the best.
How do you suggest we go from a debt monetary system to a weapon system?
Okay. Well, Chris Hedges is certainly eloquent. He puts it down together, really.
Hello. We are anonymous. If you have not heard about our brothers and sisters on Wall Street, we are currently experiencing our own Tahrir Square moment. However, this is not enough. We have other cities that we, the people, have occupied peacefully to let the world know the people are winning. Next month marks a momentous shift in our history. Everyone, everywhere, will be occupying their towns, their capitals, and other public spaces. Already, we have made tremendous progress. In just a little over a week, Occupy Initiative has grown up in over 30 dead cities. This is now bigger than you, for me. It is another, a collective 99% that will no longer stand for the corruption, greed, and inequality that is rampant within our governing body. Spread this message like the plague. On this memorable occasion, we will carry forth our own passive resistance against the machine which keeps us down. On this day, we will occupy LA with it bringing the wave of resistance to the West Coast. This is part of a global movement. The tyrants of London have banned public assembly and marching. The media refuses to acknowledge our presence. This production only further moves our hand. The more authoritarian they act, the more we will resist. What are our demands, you ask? They are simple. They are the same as yours. We do not forgive. We do not forget. We are silent no more. Chicago, Cleveland, Columbus, Indiana, Indianapolis, Madison, Kansas City, Michigan, Minnesota, Oklahoma City, Omaha, St. Louis, Stillwater, Tulsa, Youngstown, Binghamton, Boston, D.C., New Jersey, Philadelphia, Vermont, Atlanta, Lexington, Mississippi, Nashville, New Orleans, Orlando, Tampa, Dallas, Houston, Phoenix, Denver, Las Vegas, Olympia, Portland, Sacramento, San Diego, San Francisco, San Jose, Seattle, and Los Angeles. We are everywhere. We are legion. We are anonymous. Expect us.
So that's how it's going right now. Lots of cities. Lots of cities are signing up, and so the president is speaking right now. Well, shit, I'm at the wheel of the computer here for basically for the duration of the solidarity show that we're doing here. I've only been on for, I guess, 45 minutes. What is the president speaking about? Can anybody type that into the chat room? Be nice to know what's going on out there. Once again, this is Here Be Monsters, and we are broadcasting to you every day for at least an hour, hopefully for two, in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street and the occupations that the 99%ers are doing. This is part of a drum line. There are a lot of little radio shows that are contributing to this voice speaking out in solidarity with Occupy Wall Street and the 99%ers and occupiers in all the cities across the United States and indeed across the planet, because it is not just American cities that this is popping up in. On the 31st, I guess it's London. Anonymous has a group in London that, beyond the law that was thrown up, or the, I don't know if it's a law or just a curfew, but they're not supposed to gather. They are going to gather in the financial district of London. At least that's the scuttlebutt that is going around. And there you have it. This is also a very large protest against the MSM media because of their blackout, media blackout on this news, and their media blackout on what is happening to the Gulf of Mexico, the media blackout on all of the things that are happening as far as the destruction and degradation and injustice against the environment and against certain communities and cultures. And, I mean, good grief, we're in trouble here, people, aren't we? This is, as the Chinese say in their very eloquent curse, you live in the interesting times. We are in interesting times, are we not? But we are part, all of us are part of a paradigm shift that we are creating. And we're doing it through a global consciousness. It's not just, and this is where I disagree a bit with Mr. Hedges in his last speaking on his last little clip. I do think the social nets are very meaningful to the demonstrations and the occupations. I think that they will become an even more valuable source. I know that a small show like this, just doing our little, you know, this little light of mine, just letting it shine against as protest against the MSM for their blackout of this very important event, this phenomenon that is happening. I mean, geez, I'm surprised at places like my God, Mother Jones. At least Matt Taibbi has published in Rolling Stone. And when I get that information, I'll capsulize it on here. Perhaps Dusty will ahead of me tomorrow. But there's the alternative media, which is us. It's us little guys. How many people are out there occupying Wall Street? But the whole world is watching, and they're getting used to all the new media sources like Facebook and Twitter and everything that's helped bring about a successful shift of paradigm over North Africa. You know, that's what we got to work with, and we've got to mold this new media. It has to be interactive, and it has to be user-friendly to anybody. Not just sit back and take a look at what a talking head is saying, or just sitting back and listening to someone like, I'm very, you know, hey, give me a call, interact, say what you have to say. And believe me, I've opened the microphone up to folks who think that we're absolutely effing crazy here. You know, we don't know what we're doing. We're scrapping America. Well, maybe it's time America got scrapped. It's not working out for people. It's not working out for people. The corporations, they own the buffoons that are in Washington. Until the Gulf of Mexico and BP, I kept up my active work with the Democratic Party. I got to tell you something. Progressive? What's progressive? When left of center is what I used to think of as a freshman in school in 75 as all the way to the right. Now that's left of center? I don't think so. Things have gotten too skewed. We're way far away from being where we don't do very much at all to help our neighbors, to embrace our communities and new cultures coming into them and make them a part of the community. And for anyone who would say to me, it's always been hard, I would say to you, you know what, it's time to evolve. That's what we're sitting at. Evolution has come. We've brought ourselves to the edge. We've brought ourselves to the precipice. Here we are. The environment is being destroyed. Do you think that your children who are sitting in school right now, do you think your children will have children? Do you think that your that any one of anybody else's children, the environment is crashing right now. It's just crashing. Everybody's been marching along. The other day, on the 26th, I believe it was, that while the protesters were out there, Wall Street responded from their balconies. And the images of it are just, they're deplorable. They have all these people in trader floor clothing, in other words, business dress, standing with bottles of champagne, drinking champagne, and basically just saying, you know, a fangu on the whole movement, on everybody. It's like their disdain was actually very clear. And when that kind of conspicuous consumption and greed and all of the old, you know, Wall Street greed is good kind of mentality just is embracing. And what that embrace has done is it has collapsed the economy. Everybody's sitting in a moment of time that's waiting for the next boot to drop financially, not just in this country either, across the world. It's just incredible. And there was a small story written up about this, about these champagne protesters, that I would like to actually read to you. I think it comes to bear. And, quote, "So I yelled at the sons of bitches, 'Welcome to Wall Street, motherfuckers,' and shook an entire magnum of Dom Perignon onto the bastards," unquote. Red-faced and weak from laughter and highballs, Wilson wiped the tears from his eyes. The size of the bottle and the obscenity shouted increased with each telling of the tale. Truth be told, Wilson had been unnerved by the growing crowds. All of the traders at Knight Williams had been unnerved. The best had gotten out before the crash. Only the addicts and the uninspired had stayed. Wilson lingered, hoping to tell the tale one last time. At least his audience replaced by empty glasses and a throbbing headache, he tottered towards an elevator. Leaning in, he punches the lobby button and doesn't notice another man slip in behind him. Quote, "What's a magnum of Dom Perignon cost these days, mister? A couple of hundred?" asks the stranger. "Enough to feed a family for a couple of weeks, I guess. What do you think, mister? Enough to feed a family for a couple of weeks?" Uncomfortable, Wilson stares up at the floor display panel and mumbles that he wouldn't know. As the elevator grinds to an abrupt halt, Wilson grabs the handrails and stammers, "What happened? Are we trapped?" "No, we're okay," the voice soft, almost caressing. "Just wanted a little conversation, so I pulled the emergency stop." Then harshly, "Don't look at me. Don't you fucking look at me. I'm having a problem here with Technics. Just one moment, and I will be right back."
The Western world is in danger.